Hello there, I'm Miranda Gretton, and this is Take a Moment with NCHC, the show where we talk to you and your colleagues about experiences that affect you. Listen on your drive between patients or in your downtime, whenever you get the chance to take a moment.
Hello, my name is Charlotte Shaw and I'm a quality matron for palliative care services.
Charlotte, over the past 40 years, the population of Norfolk has increased significantly, as has the incidence of terminal or life-limiting illness. Changing patterns of life mean that care within the family unit isn't always possible, so there is a greater need for respite and daycare. And now you work at Priscilla Bacon Lodge, don't you, which we call PBL at NCHNC. So tell me a bit about your role and the work that you do at PBL.
So my current role is quality matron, which I think most people that work within NCHC will recognise as a role. My role is slightly different to the standard because it has a focus in this moment of the transition from our current building, Priscilla Bacon Lodge, as you've said, PBL, on Unthank Road, moving to a new, shiny, brand new building, which will be on the same site as the NNN. Very much still NCHC, but we're moving buildings. So my role is to focus on the clinical aspect of that, what that means, what we need to do to make that a successful move and to make that as safe as possible. At Priscilla Bacon Lodge, we look after patients with life-limiting diseases that require end-of-life care, specialist palliative care, usually care that's very complex and that they can't receive in either in their own home or on other units or with other services. We look after adults, so any patients that are above the age of 18 can access the service and can be referred by many avenues, their own GPs or any other healthcare professionals that they're in touch with. We have an inpatient unit, we have day services, we have the psychological team, we have the specialist nurse team, we have therapists. We're a really wide MDT of professionals that have got a specific skill set to look after those patients with really complex palliative needs.
And that's a lot of people, it's a lot of staff, it's a lot of people needing the care. But the site you mentioned on Unthank Road in Norwich is very small. I think you've got 16 beds, have you?
Yeah.
It's quite a small site. I mean, it was opened in 1979, wasn't it? So it's mm-hmm. small and quite old. So is that what has sort of prompted the move then?
As you've mentioned, it was opened where we are now, is over 40 years old. And it was led by Lady Bacon, who raised the funds to open the building that we have now. It is tiny. Even the site fitting those 16 in is a squeeze. It's a very loved building, but it is very tired. And we do so much work in such a small space. The staff do amazingly to be able to provide the services that at times are really acute services in such a tired building with such limited space.
And it must be so sensitive in terms of dealing with the patients' families and carers and, you know, people who are involved, not just the patients themselves. So you want to be able to offer the best support you can for them as well. So things like waiting rooms and nice facilities in the gardens and things. And you're going to get that at this new building, aren't
you? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we've always reflected on as times have changed and the way we care for people is very different. We have really felt a lack of space to be able to support others that are visiting the unit and visiting their loved ones. And COVID really emphasised that. We lost a lot of those communal spaces and we had to use areas for other uses that we wouldn't normally. And so the spaces we had specifically for loved ones to be able to sit or to rest or spend time together was really limited. And the move will really help us with that. In terms of quiet spaces that can be used for relatives or visitors to spend time with their loved ones or on their own or with the professionals that work at Priscilla Bacon Lodge, having conversations that aren't appropriate to necessarily have in a corridor or in a bed space. There's going to be a large cafe area that relatives can just be present in the building or others that can just visit the building and just have a nice cup of coffee or just be part of the building. If they're an inpatient or they're visiting the site because they need to use the services, they can use that area. We're going to be really lucky with physically the amount of space. Obviously, there's going to be more side rooms, which means we can accommodate more privacy for patients and families can stay overnight in much more comfortable circumstances than we're able to do in this moment. And then obviously there's the gardens, which are a huge part of this whole appeal and what will bring so much joy and well-being to the patients and relatives while they're in our care.
It's lovely to know that this is coming for all of you, because you have been through the mill with COVID, and I know that having to limit people coming into the site during COVID was really tough on the staff, be with people at the end of their life and not allow the relatives and the visitors in. That was just so heartbreaking. So to know that this is coming, is it's something to look forward to. Yeah. You know, and that's really important for the morale of staff, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. It's that sense of joy, isn't it? It's something to look forward to. And COVID was hard for everybody, and particularly in healthcare, there were some really extreme circumstances. And when you're trying to care for patients that are dying, having to restrict the amount of visitors that could come into the unit and could see their friends and family in their last days and hours was, you know, a really difficult thing for the staff as well as those patients that were dying and their loved ones. It has created memories for us that we will take with us forever, and will shape the way that we care for people going forward. We've talked quite a lot about staff support for patients and service users and their relatives and each other. And I think it's really important to talk about the volunteers as well and the support that they give to all of those people as well. We are really lucky to be supported by so many volunteers who work alongside all of the employed staff to enhance the services that we're able to provide. They're here on every day of the week and provide care for the patients in many different ways, and are really supportive of all of those that come into the building. And going forward, the plan will be that at the new build, we are also supported by a really large army of volunteers. There will be more volunteers hopefully recruited to support with services. So it's a really exciting time to welcome others into the building as well.
This is quite an interesting way of working now, isn't it? Because it's a collaboration between the NHS and the hospice charity that's creating this new building. So have staff and patients and visitors, families, have they been involved in the planning of the new site?
Yeah, I mean, the project is years old now. The appeal was launched in 2019. So COVID obviously slowed that down to a degree. But during that time, so many people have been involved in creating a building that will be the best for Norfolk and Waveney, for them to be able to access it. We have spoken to previous service users and their relatives about what they would like from the new unit, what's important to them. And there are themes generally throughout those conversations. And it's the same with staff. We've made sure that we've been sharing ideas and thoughts, and we've given a questionnaire out to staff to ask them for their thoughts and feelings, and been in touch with them in terms of engagement sessions to bring them along on the journey with us. It's a challenge because obviously there is still a day job. As much as this is a really big project and we need to get it right and we're working really hard, we are still caring for those patients that are dying. So doing both of those things means it can be a challenge for staff to attend all of the engagement sessions, but they've been there to be able to give their views and their opinions. And that's really important to us to shape what we do and how we move forward.
Well, absolutely. It's not often you get the chance to move to a brand new facility, is it? So it must mean a lot to the staff and the patients. What will that transition look like then? If you have existing patients, will they move to the new site then on a particular date? Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah, so the plan will be that we will need to reduce the amount of patients that we have for that week of transfer from one building to the other, to make it as safe as possible and to make sure that those patients are getting the best care. So we will be relying on our colleagues at the NNN within our other units of NCHC, within the community teams and our specialist nurse teams. And our consultants will obviously still care for patients, but possibly in their own home. They may well see patients at home that would be admitted. There are going to still be a proportion of patients that need to be with us, because they are the most complex of patients that need that specialist level of care. So there will still be a small number of beds that are open, and on a given date, they will transfer on that day. All of the remaining patients will go in one moment.
And do you know roughly when that's going to be? You know, how long have you got to wait?
It will be the summer of this year, within the next few months. So it's really soon. It's really soon. And it feels like it's creeping closer every day. So it's really soon. It's really exciting.
Really exciting. And how are the staff feeling at the moment? What's morale like in terms of knowing they're moving and knowing it's so soon? How is everyone doing?
It's a real mixture. It's a real mixture. There is some sadness for the loss of this building, and more what has taken place in this building, the memories that we've created, the work that we've done and the things we've seen and been part of. There is a sense there of loss, and there will be some grieving for that. But actually, on the whole, people are really excited to have that opportunity to move, to make it a new building for us to be able to provide the care that we already do, but improve that. Because actually, if the building we're using assists those services, they will grow and develop and they will in turn improve. So there's a real sense of excitement for that. it's tricky because parking has been an issue, and I think that's known to many people that parking's an issue on this site, and it will continue to be when we move. However, we have made progress with that, and the majority of staff have got parking permits, and that's been able to allow staff the opportunity to focus less on the practicality of that and now focus on the excitement of the move.
You mentioned there that the old site holds memories for staff and patients. And are you going to do anything to remember the old site?
Yeah, we've got several events planned. One of those is a lantern walk. So we will plan for all staff that want to and able to participate to walk from our current building to our new building, hopefully whilst it's getting dark. So we'll begin at dusk, and then we'll hopefully, well, by the time we get there, it'll be dark, and we will all carry lanterns. And I think there's a real significance of taking that walk and taking something with us. For those that would like to come but can't physically do that, then we will carry something with us to do that journey for them on their behalf. And we will do that along with the charity. We will do it as one. So we will be leaving this site, and we will join together and arrive at the new site as one team. When I sent the questionnaire out to staff to ask for their opinions and thoughts and what might be concerning them or what they're excited about and what they might like to do to mark the occasion, the overall response was a party. So we will be having a type of party at the current site before we move, which is lovely, because I think that just shows celebration. That shows celebration of the work that we do and we've done, and keeping that really excited feeling moving forward. So that's really lovely. And Helen Garrard, who's our lead chaplain for the trust, she will be holding several services in the period of time before we move. And she will invite previous service users, friends and relatives, those that have used the service and want to continue to come, and for staff and volunteers. She'll be providing several services throughout the month leading up to the move as a form of remembrance, really, to celebrate.
The poignancy of a lantern walk, the symbolism of that, almost taking the memories with you, is really beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what's really important for staff. It's not what's in a building makes it the building, and the staff are going to be coming with us. They are what make palliative care here what it is. They're the ones that give the love and care and attention to the patients and have that specialist skill set, and they're here for each other as much as they are the service users and their families. So it's really important that we concentrate on what makes us us and taking that with us.
It is so important to remember that it's our staff just moving to a new location. It's still an NCHNC facility. It's on the site of an acute hospital, but it is very much NCHNC staff. What are your hopes for the new site?
This isn't an opportunity that comes around the corner very often at all. It's not for a lot of people, it will be a once in a lifetime opportunity to move to a purpose-built building, particularly for palliative care. So we are so lucky, so lucky to be given this opportunity. And the staff are really keen to make the most of that. It's not an area of care that is suited to everybody, and you do have to be a particular person, and a lot of the staff here feel privileged to be part of that. So sharing what that means with other people is really important. Increasing knowledge about death and dying and having a good death and what that might look like and what we can do to facilitate that is really important. It's not an area that everybody's familiar with, so us being able to promote our services and what we can do, just reaching more people and assisting people in their dying phase, is really, really important to us. And having a purpose-built building will allow us to do that. We can bring more people in at a lot earlier stage in their disease. We can provide far more services than we can physically provide here. And there's opportunity for staff for their own expansion and for the whole service to develop and to be able to improve their expertise. So we will be collaborating with our partners at the Norwich Research Park. There will be dedicated research areas within the building. There is a really large conference centre which can be used by several people and will be utilised to be able to provide education around palliative care and invite others in to be part of what we provide, and not only increase our skills and expertise but share that with our colleagues in the area and improve the palliative care services within the whole community.
That's incredible and so vital. I think you're absolutely right. We're, as a society, maybe it's because we're British, I don't know, but we're just so terrified of talking about death. We're not willing to almost think about how we can give ourselves a good death. We just sort of hope that we're going to go quietly in our sleep, and it just doesn't happen like that for most people. So why would we not engage in these conversations now when we're of sound mind, we're of sound body, and we can think about how we can make it better for ourselves, our children, our children's children, just to know that palliative care is being given that level of scrutiny is brilliant. And this facility, as you say, will enable that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's such a good opportunity. As you say, it's something that will affect every single one of us. So it is a shame that people don't allow themselves to explore that further. And that's not an easy thing to do for a lot of people. And we need to be sensitive about that. And we are used to death and dying here, and not everybody is. So there are certain ways to manage that. The hospice charity themselves have got some really good ideas around how to reach out to communities and to bring those people in, well, people before they're at the stage of needing to have those discussions and exploring what we would call death literacy and how to talk about death and how to be prepared. And there is a really keen interest in starting that with schools and starting that with young children so that they can be prepared going forward. And obviously Tracy Dryhurst and her psychological services team that are based here have got amazing expertise in supporting young people as well as adults with those conversations and how to support those that have lost loved ones as well. We're all really proud of the staff here at Priscilla Bacon Lodge. They do an amazing job day in, day out. They support so many people as well as each other's to provide that specialist service. And we just see this as an extension of that and being able to improve on what we already do. So we're very, very lucky to have this opportunity and are really looking forward to what the future might hold.
Thank you for listening to Take a Moment with NCHC. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please visit the podcast intranet page to leave a comment and for details of our other episodes. You can also follow NCHC on all social media channels.